Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on the Murfreesboro City Schools. Not long until they open again. And you're saying what just seems like the other day that they closed? Well, time flies when you're having fun. Visiting with us this morning, Lisa's with us. Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Bart.
And you brought a friend with you.
I did. I brought Miss Lori Offit. She is our new principal at Reeves Rogers Elementary.
Good to have you with us today, both of you.
Good morning.
And, of course, Lisa is an old fixture around here. It feels like, now, I don't mean it like an old person. She used to work here, so it feels like home having her back in the saddle, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, my favorite job ever.
Was it really? Good.
Yeah, I got it's to, a, you it's know, I was in college place. Working at a radio station. What could you ask for?
Not many worries?
No.
Your big worries, I guess, were, am I going to do well on the test?
Yeah, and whether Braves would actually get finished with their baseball, you know.
In time for you to go
home.
In time
for me to go home.
Those were days we had long innings sometimes.
They could never lose or win in time.
Well, tell us, of course, Lisa is the public information officer with the Murfreesboro City Schools now. And so much happening. You have a new school that's almost ready to come online. How close are we?
Well, Overall Creek is going to open in time for school to begin.
That's all
we can tell you. We are looking at getting the keys to Overall Creek sometime late July. The weather has put us behind, but they are gaining ground, so to speak. So we're looking at probably that last week in July, getting the keys. We'll be there. We will be there. It looks great. The school is just beautiful. You can already, the drives are in there. Everything is under roof now. So it's kind of like building a house where you can see everything going really, really quickly. And then all of a sudden, the stuff inside starts taking time. But classrooms will be set up. They'll be ready to go.
Now, you're not at a point, I guess, where you can start putting things in the school, are you?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, we'll do that all at one time.
Cool. This is exciting because this is a large school. It's two stories.
Right.
So you're approaching it from a different aspect from what you've had at the other schools. And it's just exciting to see this happening.
It is. It is a school that is being built for 1,000, the same way that Scales, Pittard, and Case and Lane were built. However, because it's two stories, it feels smaller. The footprint is smaller, so it's much more eco-friendly. You can stand in the middle of one of the hallways and see all ends of the school. So when you're in the school, it feels smaller. It feels more like a community school. And they're going to do so many classrooms outside and really utilize that creek for a lot of studies. It's just going to be a great school to attend.
We were talking with Janie Becker over at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. She was really excited because they're going to be helping with some of the outdoor classes dealing with the ecology and farming and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
So this is phenomenal. Now, something else that's phenomenal is the exciting news happening over at Reeves Rogers. And Reeves Rogers, I understand, has a new principal. Am I accurate on that?
Reeves Rogers has a new principal. It has a new look. It is being revived. It is opening. It is another new school, just like Overall Creek is. New school, old facility, but when you walk into it, when you start school there, come August 6th, it's going to look awesome. Laurie and her team have done a tremendous job. We already have a very active PTO. We have a new logo, a new look for the school, and I'll let Laurie talk to you about the logo because it's really a cool logo, and the kids are going to love it.
Okay. Laurie, tell us. Laurie, by the way, is the new principal.
Oh, yes. Laurie Offit, new principal for Reeves Rogers Elementary. Laurie's been with us. She was at Pittard as the assistant principal. She was also at Discovery School as the assistant principal. So she has a lot of background with Murfreesboro City Schools and was at Scales for several years as well. So she knows the schools. She knows the best of all of it.
Laurie, tell us about what's happening at Reeves Rogers. How is it different?
Oh, it's incredibly different. Just the look when you come in. We spent so far these few weeks of summer really going in and renovating different areas in the building. We redid the cafeteria. I think parents, if they were at Discovery and parents in the past at Reeves Rogers, when they come back, they'll see a completely new look in the cafeteria, much more modern. Up-to-date look. We put a fresh coat of paint on the hallways. We incorporated the school colors. It's a beautiful shade of gray to play off our silver and then also red. Looks amazing. We've updated the art room and also several of the pod areas. We've put in new countertops, sinks, faucets, and some materials like that. The entire school was cleaned out when Discovery moved to the Bellwood building. Everything was moved out. We've cleaned. Maintenance has been in the building every day since school was out to make updates, additions. Like I said, cleaning out. It just looks amazing. It's going to be a wonderful feel for the children coming in August.
Now, Lisa said something about you had a new logo,
We do. We are the Reeves Rogers Mustangs. We wanted to play off of our neighbor, MTSU. We wanted to have our own identity, though, so we didn't want to copy everything that MTSU had. We pulled in a silver color from MTSU. We also brought in, of course, they have Lightning as their mascot. We named our Mustang Thunder, so we have the little competition of Thunder and Lightning over there on Greenland. So it looks amazing. We've got our new sign at the street at Greenland up and ready, so anybody in that area, you need to drive by Greenland and look at the new sign, the new banners and awnings are coming probably in a couple of weeks. They'll be installed, so that'll really put the finishing touch on the outside of the building.
That's exciting to see that happening. And I guess the youngsters will be able to get some school clothes and stuff with the Thunder on it.
Absolutely. We've got our PTO working on that to have merchandise ready for the opening day when we have our open house, which our open house is going to be July 27th from 2 to 4. So all families that are zoned, whether you're registered or not registered yet, you know, if Reeves Rogers is going to be your home for the next school year, that's when we're going to have our open house, so everybody's invited to come out.
Lisa, does that date coincide with other city school open houses?
No, that is hers and hers alone, because it is a new school, just like Overall Creek is. Overall Creek's the following Saturday, which is August 3rd. It's the following Sunday. It's not a Saturday. So hers is on a Sunday. Overall Creek's is on the following Sunday. The two new schools do have very distinct open houses. You will see the other schools probably having their open houses right before school starts back, and that'll be for their students, learn who your teacher is and all that. With Overall Creek and Reeves Rogers, we want to invite the public to come out and look at the schools. If you're an alumnus there, then we want you to come on in and look at it and see how it's changed and some of the old familiar sites as well as the new things. And again, with just like Overall Creek is doing the environmental side, Laurie is really building those partnerships so that she's looking a lot more in the science, a lot more in the hands-on STEM type learning opportunities.
Correct.
And so even it's really nice to go into the small schools because you have that ability to just do one-on-ones with those students. And so the things that Laurie and her teachers are going to do are just amazing as well.
Yeah, being right there by MTSU is going to be a great partnership. We have a couple of meetings coming up with a few of the departments in the next week and a half where we're going to look at what connections we're going to make with partnerships. It's going to be a unique opportunity for children and teachers to be able to utilize the facilities there at MTSU on quick little hour and a half, you know, trips, day trips and so forth to enhance the curriculum. So we're really looking forward to that. Something to piggyback off of what Lisa said about inviting the alumni out. We're going to finish forming our committee this week and work on creating an alumni wall for Reeves Rogers. And when we invite alumni in, there will be ceramic plaques that they will be able to personalize, and then we will take care of finishing off the ceramic plaques and hanging them right at the beginning of the front entrance of the building for an alumni wall, because we know that Reeves Rogers is a building that is so deeply rooted in our community. Mm-hmm. And so many people in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County went to elementary school there. So it's exciting to bring it back to the community and to invite the alumni back to see where we're going.
And it will have an all new look, you said, new it paint will. Job, everything.
Yes.
Plus, thunder is there.
Absolutely.
That's exciting to see that happening. So now, your open house will be Sunday, July 27th,
correct.
2 until 4.
Correct.
And then at Overall Creek the following Sunday, August 3rd, 2 until 4.
Yes.
No alumni there, though.
Not yet.
Because it's
the
brand
inaugural
new.
Class will be there, but not the alumnus.
Boy, now, are you going to bury a time capsule or anything like that?
Wow, that's a good idea for both schools. We haven't discussed that. You know, people did that a lot, and we may need to do that. You know what? I think we will.
Okay.
I think that's an awesome
a
idea,
decision
Bart.
It's made it, right here.
There you go. We can
broadcast.
Do that.
That is exciting. And what's even more exciting is to dig those up.
Yeah.
Wonder where it is right now at Reeves Rogers.
Somebody, and I cannot remember who told me this a few weeks ago, somebody said that there's actually one in the walls.
That's
somewhere
mm-hmm.
in the walls. But a friend of mine also told me, and I can't remember what class, she was going to find more information. There is one somewhere on the grounds. Because she was talking to some of the friends, and they were part of the class burying it. Mm-hmm. So that would be neat to locate that.
Now, when was Reeves Rogers built?
Let's see, 58?
Well, it's been around for a while.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That's exciting. So
it is.
It has touched a lot of people.
It has. And, you know, what's so fun about it is, you know, you see the excitement of a brand new building at Overall Creek. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Scales and opened Scales. I worked at Pittard. It's a beautiful building as well. But there's just a special warmth about an older building, and how wonderful that communities cherish those buildings and keep them updated so they can stay in the neighborhood and in the community and still continue to be this wonderful piece of history for kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful that we value those buildings and we maintain them.
Oh, very definitely.
Yeah.
It's the memories that are so strong
there. It is.
And yet, at Reeves Rogers, the building is not so old. I mean, you look at the year it began and think, mm-hmm. well, that's a good while back.
Right.
But it's very similar looking. Classrooms are similar. It's not like you're walking into a building that's 100 years old.
No. I think that says a lot for the school system that they take this important role in maintaining. I think that's really important. We have the updates that every school has. You know, we've got the technology that every school has. So it's again, the small school feel is wonderful, the history of the building. And like you said, you know, how many people that building has touched, you know, their life, and it's still here in the community. They can drive by and show their children, drive by and show their grandchildren. So that's going to be fun to continue the tradition for Murfreesboro.
Lisa, if we go back to when Reeves Rogers started, the city school system probably had, what, four or five schools at that. It was relatively small. The city of Murfreesboro back then was maybe 8,000 people or so.
Probably right at that, right. I mean, you had Reeves Rogers, Mitchell Nielsen,
Hobgood,
but not at its present location, right? Maybe. I get my years a little bit confused on that. But you know, you had your Hobgood, mm-hmm. you had your Hobgood. I'm sorry, I was thinking Bradley. Bradley moved a little bit of transition there, but Hobgood would have been there. And Hobgood has, you know, they had that history as well. And so mm-hmm. when you talk to people, Mitchell Nielsen, those older schools really have that deep-rooted tradition. And when we had our open house back in the spring, we had one of the grandmothers bringing in their grandchild, and she did it on purpose because her grandchild was zoned there. So he'll be mm-hmm. attending this year and totally skipped her daughter. And now the grandchild's there. So it's really, she was excited.
That
she really
right.
was excited. She's like, oh, he's going to the same school that I did. So that's pretty cool.
Now, when we open up the phone lines right at the halfway mark. If any of you went to school at Reeves Rogers in those earlier years and would like to share some stories, some memories, love to hear from you. 893-1450, but hold off on those stories. That'll be about 5 or 6 minutes from now, and we'll be talking about that. Let's look at some other things, Lisa, that are happening with the new school year, which is just around the corner.
It is around the corner. We are in the middle of lots of camps right now because ESP has camps going on across the district. You know, even just because we are still working on that traditional school year doesn't mean that there's not kids still in our schools. They actually are very active in our schools. One of the upcoming events that still has openings in the camp, it's called Boys to Men. And Boys to Men is scheduled for July 21st through 25th. It's from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Hobgood. But it's open to kids across the district. It's not just for Hobgood. Some of the things they have scheduled for that camp is just fascinating. They're going to do fun things like go fishing and go learn how to golf. But they're also going to learn how to do public speaking, how to dress for success. They're doing auto mechanics. They're doing woodworking. They're doing, it's just a combination of hands-on skills and life skills throughout the week. The cost for that week is $20. So $20 registration. I think they have 15 slots left. So if they want to go ahead and register their student, they should call today and get them registered. Talk to Greg Lyles. He's the one who's coordinating the camp. And the phone number is 893-2313. And again, it's called Boys to Men, and it's for boys who are rising fifth and rising sixth graders. So if you're going to be in fifth or sixth grade this year at Murfreesboro City Schools, this camp is open to you.
Now, I've also seen your, is it Chow Bus? Is that what it's called?
The Chow Bus is rolling.
That is pretty neat. Very graphic.
It really is very nice. That was a brainchild of Gary Anderson and Sandy Sheely. We had a bus that went into retirement because after a certain amount of mileage, we can't haul students on them. But they turned it around and made it more or less a restaurant. So inside of the bus, there's tables and the seats are kind of facing each other, more like what you would see in an RV. And we are going out to the community feeding through the federal USDA program of summer feeding program. Most of our sites are set sites. They're at our schools or they're at churches. But the bus allows us to go to places where there's a need, but there's not a facility. And they have just had tremendous success with the Chow Bus. And Chow stands for Combating Hunger on Wheels.
And it is available all around the community. Is that right?
There are certain sites it stops, and that is on our website, cityschools.net. You will find out the exact time that they feed breakfast and the exact time they feed lunch at the location. And it is open for anyone under the age 18 and under, whether you go to Murfreesboro City Schools or Rutherford County Schools or wherever you want to go, 18 and under, there is a free breakfast and lunch for you.
Okay. If people have questions, can they call the city school office?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 893-2313, or go to our website and it'll tell you all the locations for the summer feeding programs.
Okay. We are talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools this morning. Lisa Trail is with us. And she's updating us on all of the things that are happening. We also have with us the new principal of Reeves Rogers Elementary School that has been totally redone. Beautiful facility. Laurie Offit is here. And we're going to pause for just a moment. And when we come back, if you have some memories of earlier days at Reeves Rogers, we're ready to take those calls. 893-1450. If you have any questions about the city schools, they're opening pretty soon. When is the first day of school?
August 6th.
August 6th. Okay. That'll be here before you know it. We'll be back, and the phone lines will be open then.
893-1450. On your side, consumer warrior Clark Howard.
Save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Most $10 watch batteries are replaced while you wait at Bell Jewelers.
Visit the world of Rolex at Bell Jewelers, your official Rolex jeweler. Sales and in-house Rolex repair.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Visit us at belljeweler.com. Like us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City. I'm inviting your family to come do business with my family. And here at Animal City, not only do we carry a full range of great products for your dogs and cats, you'll also find a host of items for your more exotic family members, like your hedgehogs or sugar gliders. Here at Animal City, we are happy to help you create or maintain the aquarium setup of your dreams, either fresh or saltwater. So come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell from Robert's Auto Repair. What's the difference between my car repair shop and some of the others here in town? We work hard with our customers and treat them like family.
Robert's Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. Bit of congestion this morning still on I-24 at 96, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. We've picked up an accident, I-24 West between Hickory Hollow Parkway and Bell Road. That's causing some major congestion for us this morning. So anticipate some slowdown because of that this morning. Also, we've got lots of slowdown I-40 West at the junction with 24. There's always something happening in Knoxville. The Iams Nature Center has adventures for the entire family. Hike, bike, and paddle your way through the weekend. Plan your visit, book your rooms at visitknoxville.com today. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Do pick up a chance for some showers and storms in the forecast for this afternoon. Otherwise, look for a blend of clouds and sun with highs in the lower 90s. And for tonight, chance for storms in 71. I'm WGNS meteorologist Michael Carroll. Right now, 79.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit us. Enjoy a hot, delicious cookie. And we are very grateful to those customers that have helped us with our success. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
And happy birthday, Frieda.
We're all about saving you money.
I'm Dave Ramsey on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 on WGNS.
Not again to visit me, but I knew it wasn't ever after. We'll fight, not out of spite, but someone must stand up for what's right. Cause where there's a man who has no voice, there I shall go singing.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools this morning. Lisa Trail is with us, along with Lori Offit, who is the new principal at Reeves Rogers Elementary School, now known as the Mustangs. And the Mustang has a name, Thunder. That'll go along with Lightning, right across the street at MTSU. It's going to be a clash over there, I think, someday. Thunder and Lightning, just a matter of feet away. Oh, if you went to Reeves Rogers, give us a call, 893-1450. They've totally redone the school. It's going to be a beautiful thing to see. 893-1450, and they're having an open house there on July the 27th, a Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4. In addition to the parents and youngsters who are zoned for that school, They also invite alumni to come and check out the school. That's July the 27th. We'll be telling you more about that as we get a little closer to that date. And the first day of school is August the 6th. That's the city schools. Mm-hmm. Are the county, is that pretty much along with it, or do you know?
I think county's the same day.
Same day.
It is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. 893-1450. We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. Now, for parents who are getting their youngsters ready to go to school first time, do they need to have proof of anything? I mean, obviously, they need to have proof that they live here.
Right.
But what about vaccinations and things like
that?
They do.
They have to come to school. Those kindergarten students have to come to school with their medical records, with their making sure we have their shots and everything. There's a registration form online that they can fill out. But yes, you have to have a proof of address, and a proof of address is a bill that has a bill associated with your physical address. So your electric bill, your gas bill, something like that. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just kind of talk about kindergarten phase-in, because kindergartners don't start like everyone else. You know, we do give them a little bit of extra attention those first few days, because it's pretty...
Difference.
It's a big difference coming to school in a big old school. So
now, what age is a kindergartner?
A kindergarten student has to be 5 years old before August the 30th. 15th.
Next year
it is 30th. This year it's August 15th.
Okay.
So you have to turn five before that day. It's been moved back 2 weeks.
It was August 30th. Now we're at August 15th. So now we're at, because they gave us 2 years to phase that back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if your child is going to be five by that date, they can go to kindergarten. Now, do you have to sign up or do you just show up?
No, we really want you to register.
No,
we
please.
Really, really want you to know you're coming. So
you
that
should
we
have
can...
seen the expression.
Well, it's just so difficult for the principals and the teachers to know how to begin their school year if we don't know you're coming. Now, obviously, sometimes you're going to get someone that you're not expecting, but they really want to get their roles in order so you know when you show up to school on August 6th that Miss So-and-so is your teacher and you're going to be in classroom A, so that we're ready for you as well. We don't want to take 2 weeks trying to get ready with our students. We want to be ready to teach as soon as they get back and are ready to learn.
So, what do you do in kindergarten?
You know, I'm going to turn around and go, curriculum person is sitting right here beside me. I'm going to let her talk.
She's been there.
She's the educator. I'm the public information officer.
Laurie, what about that? What do you learn in kindergarten?
I think it's what don't you learn in kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
You know, my teaching background, I taught years of high school, and people cringe when I, you know, say, yeah, I teach high school. I think I would rather teach high school than kindergarten. When you think about kindergartners coming in, it could be any kind of background that they're coming to us with. And I think that is really difficult for a kindergarten teacher is then creating that level playing ground for them, because some come in from a pre-K program, some come in from daycare, some come in from being at home, you know, with mom or dad. So they come in with a variety of backgrounds. At the beginning of kindergarten, the teachers spend a lot of time assessing. We do the kindergarten screening actually when they come in. After they fill out the registration, actually, what to talk about what Lisa was saying, if they register ahead of time, we can give them a day to come in for the kindergarten screening. So then the teachers can assess where they are. And then we do the phase-in. And I'll just throw a couple of dates out real quick. Kindergarten phase-in dates, half a day, August 8th for one group, and then August 11th for the second group at your building. And then the August 12th is kindergarten first half day. And then Wednesday, August 13th, is the first full day of kindergarten. So we have that phase in. What's funny to see is when these kiddos go home at the end of the first half day, you can tell, oh, this is a lot of work. You know, we learn how to walk the hallways. We learn the layout of the building. We learn the bathroom, the cafeteria, the water fountains, the library, music. So it is a lot for these kiddos coming into school for the first time. And then, you know, they look a little groggy when they leave. The first full day, they're falling asleep in the car line and the bus line because they are worn out from everything that they have done. But going back to the academic piece, letter identification, letter sound, we look at letter blends. We get the foundation there of the alphabet so that then they can build upon reading. A lot of our kiddos leave kindergarten with the ability to read, and then that's what we pick up with the first grade. We also start introducing the basic math skills and laying the foundation of mathematical skills to build upon for first, second, and so forth. So kindergarten is a really important grade when you enter, just starting that basis and the foundation of everything that's going to happen for math and reading. And then we also build on science and social studies, and we incorporate those two subjects in with language arts with the reading. So it's a lot academic and a lot social as well. So it is a really filled year and can be very difficult for a lot of kiddos coming in because there's so much to learn.
I would imagine it's a real challenge for the educators because the youngsters have such a varied background.
They do.
If they don't have any brothers and sisters, maybe their only association with other children is at Sunday school or
right.
something like that, but that's not on a daily basis. And then suddenly, mm-hmm. they're not the focus of the entire day.
Right.
They're having to share that spotlight with, I guess, 20 other kids.
And that's why your kindergarten teachers have to be incredibly strong educators, because they're not only hitting that academic piece, but they're hitting that social piece. And they do an outstanding job. It is amazing to see what a kindergarten teacher can do for a kiddo coming in August, and then where that kiddo is in May when they exit and go to first grade. It is a phenomenal difference. So kudos to kindergarten teachers. I'm telling you, I don't think I could do it, but they do a phenomenal job, like I said, you know, not just with that academic piece, but that social piece as well.
Do they learn to read in kindergarten, or is that the first grade?
Kids are now leaving kindergarten learning how to read, and that's what's so important, is laying that foundation that first semester of the letter identification, the sounds, being able to blend and so forth, get the basics, and then build from that. So we do have a lot of kiddos leaving kindergarten with the ability to read. So that's amazing.
And with your background being a high school teacher, I'm sure you can see the importance of knowing how to read well. If you don't know how to read, you're going
Absolutely.
To have major problems learning anything, because you have to read. And so really those first 3 or 4 years will set what happens in the future for you, high school, college, and beyond.
Absolutely. You know, you look at the foundational skills that we're building in K through 2. It's absolutely phenomenal. There are several studies that show that prison systems look at the reading levels of communities based on third grade reading test scores, and that's how many jail cells they will build on children who cannot read. And I think what a powerful study that is, but also a powerful thing for us as a community and a school system to look at. We have to save these children's lives. We have to prepare them for the future. We have to really kind of change that destiny, and that's our job. And you think about the enormity of that job every day, and that's what an educator walks into. We're life changers. That's what every teacher that walks into a school building is every day. And we have to support the teachers and continue with professional development and keep them on that high playing level, because what they do for children is absolutely amazing every day.
And our hats off to the Murfreesboro City Schools, because they're continuing that program on, I think, Tuesday evenings over at the Family Learning Center on Bridge Avenue, mm-hmm. where they're teaching adults mm-hmm. to read, and I guess to maybe eventually go on and get your GED. But
right.
that's so important.
Right.
So if you slip through the hole, so to speak, still help is available.
There's help available all across our city and our county, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Read to Succeed.
Read to Succeed, Greenhouse Ministries. There's so many programs out there for adults who are wanting to go back and get their GED, or maybe just to learn a new skill set. The Technology Center, I mean, we are blessed not only with how as a child to find education, but also as an adult. And, you know, some of the things that we can do as adults to help our kids, we should be concentrating on now during the summertime, instead of just like, I know it's hot and most of the kids are really not wanting to be outside my child always wanted to be outside, but a lot of kids just don't want to be out in that heat. If they're not wanting to do that, it would be nice if the parents were looking for opportunities to get them ready to go back to school, whether it's going to the library going to Discovery Center, there's so many learning opportunities here. A lot of them are free. So it's not like it's a big cost, but they're going to the library hour. They're going to learn how to sit and listen. They're also going to understand what the power of a book and the power of a story. You know, if you can get a child to read, they can go anywhere they want to in a book. And that's important for them.
Oh, very definitely. How are you reducing the people slipping through and getting out of school not knowing how to read?
For one, when we look at what we're doing in Murfreesboro City Schools, we're really analyzing data, and not so much TCAP data. You know, a lot of people think about that as an assessment. We do a lot of quick formative assessments in the all buildings, grade levels, a quick hit, what are we teaching, where are the kiddos at. We're looking at the data, how are the kiddos performing, the children that aren't performing where we want them to be, what are we doing. We're doing small intervention groups. The state of Tennessee is actually doing an RTI Square program where we're building in an hour of intervention time each day. It's called like a tier two, tier three. With that, we break the kids into small groups to be very effective with that intense instruction. So those that aren't meeting the goals that we've set for them, the teachers are working with them, academic interventionists are working with them. They're going in and getting intense instruction on those skill deficits that they have. And then again, we watch how they're performing. We give them another quick little formative assessment. We analyze that data. Have they made gains? Great. We're going to move them up to this next group. And then that's what we're looking at. So we're really looking at student performance. We look, you know, classroom by classroom, student by student, skill by skill with where these kids are performing at school. And it's really paying off when we look at how we're moving kids up. And that's wonderful.
So each one is individual.
I mean, yes.
Because obviously every child, some are going to be doing better than others, and some will need more encouraging, while others might be, Here's a bigger book. You can tackle that one. Go ahead and enjoy it. Don't hold them back. So you're
exactly
doing all of that.
So, yeah, we really tailor that instruction during the intervention time to meet the kids where they are and then keep pushing them up. Because kids that are high achieving, kids that are very high level, you don't want to hold those back. You want to keep pushing those kiddos just like the ones that are not performing at the level you want them to. You want to raise them as well. So the intervention process that we are doing is really helping us to move all kids. And that's wonderful.
How did people slip through the system in the old days not knowing how to read? How did they go through elementary school, go all the way through high school, get a high school diploma, and not know how to read? Surely somebody saw that.
You know, I think being a former high school teacher, I think for some kids it was, this is going to sound bad, but I think it was easy to let them fall through the cracks. Some of the kids that could not were also discipline issues. Well, they're discipline issues because it draws attention away from them not knowing how to do the skill to the behavior that they're doing in the classroom. So they're this behavior problem. So we don't see them as being this academic deficit kiddo that we need to plug in that gap. We need to teach them how to read. We're focused on that behavior. So let's just get them out of the classroom. So I think we had a lot of kids suspended. We had a very high dropout rate. So I think it was very easy to dismiss those kids. If they're out of sight, they're out of mind. But now we have people in our community that cannot read. I think also, too, when you look at teacher instruction and teacher preparation, how much it has changed over the past 20, 30 years, I think teachers now are so much more prepared and knowledgeable on how to teach children to read and read correctly and then be able to pick up on the signs of them not knowing how to read effectively. So I think teacher preparation has changed quite a bit as well.
There's also diagnoses that are coming through. The dyslexia is, you know, we see that now. 40 years ago, you didn't hear much about dyslexia. So children, they were just seeing it wrong. And so it's hard to read if you don't understand how your eyes are seeing it.
Right.
And it's hard for a teacher to teach that if they don't understand what a child is seeing if they're dyslexic. So, you know, there's been just so many advances. And I don't think it was ever because a teacher didn't care about a child. Sometimes it was they just didn't have the ability to do any more with that child. You know, I come from a long background of teachers in my family. They all loved those kids, regardless of whether they were the high achievers or the ones who were just really struggling to keep everything together. But I think, again, what Laurie said, when you look at intervention, intervention isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing to take a child from where they are and move them up the ladder. And again, even with our gifted children, we don't want to leave those gifted children out because we have gifted children all across our district. Gifted, high achiever, whatever you want to call that child, they need to be pushed as well. Yeah. They don't need to be always making those straight A's. I mean, it's nice if they always make the straight A's, but they need to be pushed to make those straight A's as well. And I think when you look at all the gifted programs that are throughout our schools, you'll see that they're pushed regardless of which school they're going to. Right. Teachers now are able to push a child to say, okay, yeah, you're getting this really easy. Let's try something that's a little bit more difficult for you.
And I think one thing Lori said, too, it really makes a lot of sense how when she said the children came up with things they were doing in school to draw attention away from the fact they couldn't read. And you look at an adult right now, and you're thinking, how could that person grow up and be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and not be able to read? And you talk with them, and if they will be honest with you, they'll say something like, well, I've learned to say, oh, I've left my glasses. Right. Would you read this for me? I can't see it.
Right.
So they come up with a way to get around it, just like they did when they were in high school.
And you'll see that with physicians' offices, they'll say that a lot. They have to recognize the signs of someone who can't fill out the form versus just left my glasses behind. But, you know, it's a different day. It's a different time. You know, my father is 91, soon to be 92 years old. He has a sixth grade education. He has done well for himself with a sixth grade education, but that was during, you know, the Depression and all this stuff. He probably has the best math mind of anyone in our family. He can tell you how many, you know, how many bushels you're going to get per acre and all this kind of stuff. He was a successful farmer. There is no way you can farm and not know how to read, write, and do arithmetic. But he was always very sharp with it. That's great. But now you have to take those same farming skills that he did great with and look at it and go, now farmers are doing computers.
Right.
And they're driving these combines that are so electronic that it's amazing. That's the reason the MTSU Ag Science is booming, because what they do with farming now versus what they did when my father was farming, two different things. You have to understand how to get what grain to buy to get the pounds on the cows and all the things that go along. So wherever you go and whatever you decide to do, what your grandfather did is a little bit different than the skills that you're going to be asked to do when you graduate.
Yeah, and that's important for us to always remember too, because as educators, you know, when you think about it, we're preparing children right now for jobs that we don't even know are going to exist when they get to the age 20 years from now. So we have to think about what skills are they going to need. You know, they're going to need to have some thinking skills, some problem-solving skills, social skills, being able to work out problems with other people. So there are a lot of things, and that's, again, one of the challenges that teachers have every day is preparing us for our future. What is Murfreesboro? What is Rutherford County going to be like in 20, 25 years? We need to have that educated populace to fill those jobs. We don't want them going elsewhere. We want them staying here in our community and making, you know, Murfreesboro, Rutherford County better.
And we're going to continue in that same vein. We're going to check on the weather. We'll be back. And I think a lot of you will see what Lori is talking about. If you're a parent or a grandparent and your child comes home and says, can you help me with my homework? And you think,
no.
Oh, I don't know.
But do I really feel the way I feel? Saw the ghost of Elvis.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Find special savings on furniture, which is discounted 10% every 10 days it's on the floor.
Everything from sofas, desks, chairs, bed sets.
Lieutenant Andy Seiler.
The money that we make at the Salvation Army Family Store goes right back into our programs in Rutherford County.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
This is Krista Dugosh, owner of Fleet Feet Sports Murfreesboro. We can't wait to meet your feet, whether you're a walker, a runner, a gym rat, or a weekend warrior. Fleet Feet Sports Murfreesboro has all the gear you need to meet your fitness goals. But we're more than just a shoe store. You can count on us for training programs, professional fittings, and educational events. Fleet Feet Sports Murfreesboro, located at the corner of North Thompson Lane and Medical Center Parkway, next door to Carrabba's, or at fleetfeetmurfreesboro.com.
WeatherEye.
Do pick up a chance for some showers and storms in the forecast for this afternoon. Otherwise, look for a blend of clouds and sun with highs in the lower 90s. And for tonight, chance for storms in 71. I'm WGNS meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 79.
Brought to you by Bosch Dishwashers. Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch Dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Best Buy today.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth. But at Play It Again Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Now, we're still looking for somebody who may remember where the time capsule was planted over at Reeves Rogers. If you have some memories of earlier days at Reeves Rogers, I'd like to hear from you. We have about 4 minutes left in the program, so don't dilly-dally. 893-1450. Let's move it down the hall. Keep it walk straight. 893-1450 is our number. Did that sound like a teacher?
Just a little.
A little bit. Okay. 893-1450 is our number. And we're talking about the opening of school, which is coming up August the 6th. But we do have some open houses coming up, especially, for example, Reeves Rogers. They've totally redone Reeves Rogers. And all persons zoned for that school's parents and the students and alumni, since it's a totally new school, you may want to look at your alma mater. And that's going to be on Sunday, July 27th from 2 until 4. Circle that, Sunday, July 27th. And then at Overall Creek the following Sunday, August 3rd, 2 to 4 also, a chance to see Overall Creek. Can the community come out? Obviously, there's no alumni there.
Absolutely. So even if you're not zoned to that school and you just want to come and look at the school, we want you to come. I don't care if you have children or
it's
not.
It's a beautiful
it's
school.
Beautiful. What and you've seen it during the muddy days.
And this, it's going to have grass and trees
and really
stuff.
It really will, not just mud and rock.
So, and anxious to see it inside, too, because you have a feel when you look at the brick-o-block structure and everything. And you had Don telling us this is what you're seeing here. But actually having furniture in it, that's going to make a difference.
It will. Furniture, teachers,
and
kids.
And color. it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful. All of these. We are so fortunate. The Murfreesboro City Schools, you stay on the cutting edge. I mean, it's not, we're building this new school and this one's going to be on the cutting edge. You're keeping all of them on the cutting edge.
We're trying. We have a great administration, and they really are looking for the future of how to educate children, not just tomorrow, but 10 years down the line. You'll see as you walk through all of our schools, smart boards taking over technology, hands-on technology. The Murfreesboro School Board and the Murfreesboro City Council gave us the dollars to buy the technology for our children this year, and that's going to be a huge difference when you go into schools now, seeing the kindergartners and first graders with their iPads and then the other students with their laptops and just learning. Again, like Laurie said, we're teaching them for jobs we don't know exist, but we're pretty sure computers are going to be part of it. So just learning those computers early on makes a big difference.
And I had big plans to cover a lot of material before we left, and we're out of time.
Oh.
we've had a good time, obviously. Laurie, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Your new position. Good luck in the coming year. We look forward to some great things coming over at Reeves Rogers, the home of the Mustangs, and the Mustang's name is Thunder, right across from Lightning.
That's so right.
Thunder and Lightning over there on Greenland Drive. Lisa Trail, thank you always for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Have a super day. Truman is next on WGNS Murfreesboro.